Hey Charles, what's up?
Fab, how's it going?
Good, just navigating the whole how to keep a social life during COVID thing. Have you find it difficult?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, things are starting to open up a bit. We're here in New York, so you know, thankfully, you know, things haven't gotten too much out of hand, and so a lot of the restaurants are starting to open up. And have you experienced the outdoor options yet?
So that's the only time that I feel safe enough to go out. If it's not an outdoor restaurant, I wouldn't go. But yeah, it's, outdoor restaurant is the name of the game.
I know, like, yeah, that's the future. So I've been meaning to ask you, whatever happened to, what's his name?
Who, Jake?
Yeah, Jake, whatever happened with you guys? Wait, let me guess. Jake didn't make it past phase two.
Not know me, Charles.
So I'm right, yeah.
How do you know?
I know you pretty well, Fab.
Really?
Yeah, I think I know you a lot better than you think I do.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's been, what, 4 years? So, yeah, I'm not surprised Jake didn't make it past the the rigorous phases. But he made it past, you know, phase one, so shout out to you, Jake.
Not that rigorous.
Well, today I was thinking that we could take a bit of a turn from our usual topic and be a great time for you and I to just talk about us. You don't sound excited.
Is this like origin story time?
Yeah, this is exactly like our... Yes, children, gather around. And we're gonna tell you about how Fab and I met. I'm looking forward to this because...
I'm sure you are.
There's a lot I have to say about this. But we want you guys, as always, take this journey with us as we explore us.
This is In My Opinion, a course I seat into the sometimes quirky and lively conversations between two friends from grad school. We talk about everything and nothing, blending social commentary with strong opinions, often entertaining, sometimes serious, and all the way civil. You know, the way you wish the world would be.
So, all about us.
Huh?
We should have like a song that we like play.
There was a show called All About Us.
Yeah. You know, we want to let you guys a little bit into our backstory, you know, how Fab and I came to know each other. So we first met in grad school.
Yes.
Both pursuing our masters. And at that, I think we can also both say that we were, at least for me, I was pursuing my masters later in life.
Yes.
Right? So we were both coming...
It wasn't straight out of undergrad.
No. We are seasoned by this time. And so, you know, both professionals who had never met before, but were in similar fields of work and profession, and both kind of felt like, you know, in our own ways that we were ready at this time to pursue the next level of our education.
And I just did it because I wanted a promotion at work.
I was trying to make you look good just now, Fab.
Yeah, I was
going to
be honest.
Well, speaking for myself... So, you know, I was at a space where I avoided going to grad school for very long. And I was just like, I'm not going back. I'm just going to work my way, get my experience. But, you know, then you see that certain doors aren't opening.
Yeah.
So for you, it was a promotion. And for me, it was similar. I was feeling a bit stuck and felt like I was hitting my ceiling. And so I applied to grad school and thankfully got in. I don't know what your undergrad was like, but I had to beg and plead to get in.
Oh, did you?
I did. I don't think I never told you, huh?
No, I did not know that.
So...
I don't mean to make you feel bad, but it was pretty easy for me.
And this is why I'm going to talk about you, Fab. But my undergrad was rough.
Really?
I was, how do I say this? I was surprised I graduated.
I was a nerd. Uh-huh. So school was always my thing. I like school was never an area that I struggled in. So like I was a nerd. It was just like I did my homework. I was pretty good student all my life.
Yeah, I was not that. and not that the work was difficult. I just was really lazy. I couldn't do it. So I left my undergrad barely passing, and actually applied to another grad school before the one that where I met you, and I was rejected from that school. So it may be destiny.
It is destiny. The universe wanted us to meet.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because I was pretty heartbroken when I didn't get accepted. I wasn't like, maybe this will lead to some friendship.
So I only applied to one school.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So I literally had to, like, I had my executive director at the agency where I worked at the time write a letter. I had, like, other high-level positions write me letters of recommendation. This is how bad my undergrad grades were. And I took it a step further and actually had a one-on-one meeting with the admissions director.
Wow.
Because I was like...
That's dedication.
No, I was like...
You really wanted to...
I wanted to get in. Yeah. And I think having been rejected... Because I didn't do this process the first time. I just relied on my transcript and, you know, the application. So when I was rejected, I was like, man, I gotta step it up.
Listen, failures are our best teachers, I always say.
Very true.
I mean, anybody that hears you talk, I mean, like, that's your bread and butter right there. Like, you're a pretty smart guy, so I think you played it right.
I thought you were going to say that I just talk a good game. Is that...
that too.
Well, don't speak too soon, because we're going to get to you in a moment.
Okay.
And so there are definitely some things that I've been wanting to ask you. Mm-hmm. I know you pretty well, and I think that you know me too.
I have some questions for you too.
So I'd love to hear.
Well, the one question I always wanted to ask, and I can't believe I never asked you this, but what was your first impression of me? Because we didn't become friends right away.
No, we didn't.
Right? We were in a cohort program, which means that we basically were stuck together with the same people for 2 years.
We were married for 2 years, yeah.
And we really didn't, like, that first year, we barely spoke. What was your first impression of me? What did you think of me?
Yeah.
And be honest.
Oh, no. So I think when I first met you, when I reflect on that time, I think it was mostly during our times in class.
Yeah.
So because those of you who were not in this class with us, you know, you have those who are kind of like quiet and, you know, they're not as involved in the discussions. And then you have those who are you know, just kind of like very, very vocal and always having something to say.
Was I one of the quiet ones?
You were the latter. And I was like, why is she always... Why does she always have something to say about everything? Now, I will say that I always appreciated what you brought to the discussion, but it was clear that you had not done the reading. But you were so good at selling it. And I remember, I'll be very honest with you, I remember in the same breath being annoyed with you and impressed. Because I do the same thing. So when I saw someone who did it better than me, I was a bit jealous.
I mastered being able to talk about things while only reading very small portions of what I'm supposed to talk about.
Yeah, so that was my first impression of you. But, you know, I was...
So you thought I was a bullshitter.
I thought you were very good.
Yeah.
You were seasoned in that. In that area. What about you? What did you think when you first met me?
You know what? I was indifferent towards you. I'll tell you why. just give me a moment. I'll tell you why. I intentionally selected a cohort model for grad school.
Hmm.
I have a hard time getting to know people. I don't trust people that quick. So I thought, oh, a cohort model would be ideal for me to build some relationships and that kind of thing, because we'll be together for 2 years. And that's what I was looking for. So in the first day of class, remember what you said was you were married with 2 kids.
Yeah.
And that you probably wouldn't be able to hang out. And I was like, X.
No, you didn't finish the full thing.
What you said was, I remember exactly, you said, invite me.
Yes, that was important.
But 98% of the time,
I probably won't go, yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is not a guy I'm going to hang out with. And I was really looking for people that after class would go to the bar and just hang out and connect. And so for me, I was just like, okay, married, 2 kids. He is out of the friendship circle for me.
Yeah. So the reason I did that was actually, like you, I have a, not that I have a hard time connecting with people. I don't like a lot of people.
I know that. So actually, I feel really special.
There you go.
Like me,
you should.
No.
And I didn't choose the cohort model other than the fact that I got accepted. So, you know, that's how I ended up in the cohort model. Very antisocial. And so I wanted people to know how busy I was by having 2 kids.
And you wanted to have an excuse.
And I also wanted to have, yes. As to why I couldn't make it, but I want you to still invite me. because that was important. Because one day I might actually show up.
And you did.
I did.
Yeah.
The second year.
Yeah.
But you know, so that was kind of my scapegoat, but also just letting people know, hey, I'm not going to be the one attending all the parties. But as I think back on our friendship and kind of the genesis of all of this, there are a few moments that stand out. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the after meetings, which were so critical to get through that program.
Going to a bar after class.
Oh, my gosh.
Was the best thing. All my best memories of that program.
Yeah, I mean, that program, for as great as it was, and I give total credit, you know, to the institution that put it together.
It was rigorous.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal. Because what people don't know is that all of our classes were condensed to one day.
And we were all working full time.
And we were full time, right? Those were the parameters to even be able to apply. So you had to be a working professional and have experience in the field. The schedule was a full day. So we were in school on Saturday at that, right? So we were working our full-time jobs.
Monday through Friday.
And then our two kids.
Speak for yourself.
And then our entire Saturday, like literally from 8 to 4, and some classes even went and took us up until 6 p.m.
Yep. I had no life for those 2 years.
Oh, no, not at all. Like, that cohort model was just like, we were just stuck together. And I don't know who found the bar that we ended up going to. That was you.
I was the one who sent the message on that very first day.
Did you invite me?
Meet me at the bar. I invited everyone.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe I left you out because you said two kids thing.
Yeah, you're right.
But I invited people, and two people showed up that first day.
Okay, I didn't feel so bad now.
And that became my core group of friends.
Oh, so that's how your crew started.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about crews in a second. So you started going to this bar,
mm-hmm.
with your two friends. I, on the other hand, was having a crew of my own, and part of this was that when we first started doing our classes, we were like looking for geographical connections, right? So people who lived in similar boroughs or neighborhoods would kind of see that as an opportunity to connect.
Right, because then you can go to study groups together, yeah. You can do group projects and that sort of thing.
Right, so my...
And I selected my group based on who liked to go to the bar.
Still a geographical location, right? I, however, was more focused on my education, and I chose people who I could study with. And so I ended up connecting with a few people who, you know, I felt like kind of fit what I was looking for. Again, not looking to make any friends. I just needed to be able to, you know, make some connections. And
you're using people.
And I was making connections. We're not going to do this like entanglement. And so that for me felt like it served a purpose. And then eventually I ended up connecting with you guys at the bar. Was thoroughly just like excited, and so many great moments came out of that.
I feel like that bar for the 2 years that we went to was just all the learning we were doing really cemented itself. That's what we would process, we would talk about it.
We would drink.
Yeah. Everything's better with alcohol, right?
And wings, yeah.
Yeah, and delicious wings. So it was just something I really look forward to.
Yeah.
Because it was,
oh, gosh,
based
yeah.
on the rigorous schedule, it was really the only social interaction I had for those 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I figured it was like just built into what we had to do. But I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if you have any questions for me.
So, thinking back on those moments at the bar, we had many discussions, like you said.
Yeah.
If you had to identify the most heated debates, because we had a few of them.
We had so many.
But what for you stands out as a really heated debate?
You know, we had so many heated debates. This one really kind of rises to the top, only because A, I was sober during that.
So you remembered it?
So I really looked at it from a different vantage point. But it was just, to me, a testament of how we can discuss and argue things that are just really pointless and insignificant. And during the time, this whole flat earth movement was becoming really popular.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of saying how stupid it is that people think that the world is flat.
Okay.
And you, although you don't personally think the world is flat.
I do not.
You were arguing, how do I know that the world
is not flat?
And challenging me, talked about that for like 2 hours.
A couple hours. Yeah, a couple hours.
And it was the most intense heated. I think like the bartender like gave us free shots because they were just like, you guys need to shut up and stop talking about this.
Yeah, they were like sweeping around us and like putting the chairs up. I remember that. And I remember that I put together a really great counter argument.
I don't know about that.
My whole stance, just so people can hear this, is, again, I do believe that the earth is round. But I've never tested it out. And so I could not definitively say, I felt like I wasn't in a position, or that anyone else was in a definitive position to argue otherwise. If you just want to say, hey, I believe it to be this way, then cool. I had no problem with that. But you were so adamant that it was not flat. And I was just like, well, how do you know it's not flat? And to be quite honest, you weren't convincing.
Listen, I gave you several examples and you just would not budge. You would not budge. And that's what made it the most intense and horrible debate. Because I never wanted to drink so much in my life after that but conversation. But I couldn't because it was during Lent and I was doing a 40-day no drinking thing.
So let's talk about that. Because, you did quite a few weird things in your time, in the 2 years that I knew you during our grad school program. Fab has lived a few lives, guys. Still very young, but you've had some experiences.
Sure.
And one of the stories that I remember, there were a few. I'm not going to do the other one because I don't want to get us canceled before we even get off the ground. You told the story of where did you go that time?
Which one are you talking about? I don't know which one.
The one where you were a baby chick.
Peru.
Okay.
And I did an ayahuasca ceremony.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anyone doesn't know, can you explain what that is?
So it's actually a spiritual kind of ceremony that is very common in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And then you drink a tea and...
Like Earl Grey?
It's like an herbal tea that has like mild hallucinogenic properties.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you do it with a shaman, and it's supposed to be this really...
enlightening experience. Yeah.
Which to me it was amazing. It was actually one of the best vacations I've ever had. It was so enlightening.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for you. But what you're not telling people is that after you took that tea, you thought you were a baby chick.
I did not.
You thought you were a baby chick hatching out of an egg.
I did not think I was. What I said was, so part of that experience, right, is that you're supposed to get thoughts to help you unlock things that are going on in your life.
Hmm.
And part of what it unlocked for me, which that was a really critical period, is what I saw when I closed my eyes was I saw a baby chick hatching out of an egg. Which actually ended up being true. After that trip, I applied to grad school. It was almost like a new beginning. I ended a bad relationship. And it's almost like I started towards a new path in my life. So it was just really like a pivotal moment and an amazing experience. I also climbed Machu Picchu, did a trail, did all that good stuff down there. It was amazing.
So shame on me for making fun of that then.
It is, the way you put it, it trivializes it a little bit, but, like, I told that story when we hardly knew each other.
Yeah, that was a pretty...
So I get how you thought, like, oh, there goes that baby chick girl.
And there were other stories that I'll talk about, you know, just over time.
I'm sure they'll come up.
Yeah. So that wasn't like a standalone Fab situation. There were several. And so I was like, she's interesting. And then we, at some point in our program, had an opportunity to travel overseas as part of the experience. And we got a chance to go to Singapore.
Yep.
And I had an amazing time.
I love Singapore.
Amazing time, Singapore. If anyone gets a chance to go...
And I actually celebrated my birthday down there.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, you did. Yeah. But yeah, Singapore just created so many memories. And I think for us was really a defining moment in our friendship.
That's actually, I was going to ask you what you thought our defining moment of our friendship was, and I would agree. I think Singapore was when we really started to bond. We got to know each other outside of class and connected in a different way.
Yeah, Singapore just felt like we had more time to connect and really kind of create memories and opportunities. One of the things that came out of that was that our two groups, we had a mutual friend that was also kind of connected to both groups.
Right.
And I think kind of became the bridge for us to kind of get to know each other a little better.
Yeah, well, or for you guys to steal me from my group and bring me onto yours.
Well, your group was having some internal turmoil. So you were kind of looking, you know. So we had an opportunity to just hang, connect, get to know each other, let our hair down. And what came out of that was we had a really, really big project.
And one of the things that we both have in common is that we are very competitive.
Yes.
And for this one project, the teacher made it known that there was going to be one winner and one loser.
Yeah.
And I literally looked at you and I was like, we're winning this thing.
Yeah.
Like, there was no ifs or buts. Like, we were in it to win.
But let me take a step back here. I had a conversation with my circle and I said, you know, we need to beef up our team, right? If we're going to have a chance to win this, we need to beef up our team.
You need a ringer.
We need a ringer. And so, you know, I said, listen, I'm going to reach out to her and ask her if she wants to join our group. And I asked if you would join our group and you said yes.
And I would have been the only girl in this group.
Yeah.
Because your group was just three guys.
Three guys, yeah. Yeah, right? we needed some diversity in our group. Badly. And so we did this, though, because we thought that...
A girl would bring some structure.
Some structure.
Some discipline.
Some discipline. Yeah.
And you picked the wrong girl.
Boy, were we surprised.
I'm one of you guys.
You were more than that, Fab. So this group of guys, before you got there, in all honesty, we were a group of procrastinators. But we got our work done. But we got it done at the last hour. And so we thought that you were going to really help us.
I thought that that's why you recruited me.
because we knew.
You knew that I was a procrastinator, too.
I had no idea. And we were so excited, you know, that we were finally going to turn this thing around. And then, Fab, you were just like us.
I fit right in.
But that being said, we had an amazing project.
Oh, and it was so much fun.
It was tons of fun.
Yeah.
But
we won.
We did. Yeah. There's a lot of controversy around that, but yes, we did. And so that was really, really great. The bonds that we were able to create there were really lasting. And so we were able to continue our friendship beyond that, both you, I, and a few other people. And I think this is a great time to also mention Pat.
Yes.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, Pat is part of the IMO podcast.
He's the man behind the scenes.
Just where Pat likes to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting about Pat is that Pat is really the glue that holds us together.
Yes, very true. Yes.
Without Pat, he creates like balance in our dynamic.
We probably wouldn't be friends to this day if Pat wasn't around.
Yeah, like Pat is just... an amazing guy, and part of the reason why we are even able to do this podcast, really. But Pat has this uncanny ability to make you feel so close to him while you know absolutely nothing about his life.
Like 3-4 years into this friendship, we didn't even know if Pat had siblings. We didn't know if his parents were still alive.
He could work for the CIA for all we know. If this guy is just completely secretive.
And then meanwhile, we're arguing about things all the time.
Yeah.
And then Pat just comes in and just like says a few things and then just like slides right back out. I mean.
Yeah, he's mastered that skill.
Yeah.
But I think his personality like really balances us out. We are both kind of very strong, opinionated people, and Pat has never insulted me once.
No.
Yet he has said insulting things.
That we all laugh at,
yeah. Yeah,
that
like, we just laugh at because he's Pat. He just is that amazing.
Great guy, and shout out to you, Pat. Totally.
He's the third guy in our logo.
Totally, totally, totally agree that we would not be who we are without you. So, but you know, and a lot of our conversations, with Pat included, where we talk about just so many different things. And I think this is really kind of the genesis of how we were even thinking about this podcast. Not just having these conversations at the bar, you know, talking about sports, pop culture, I mean, everything under the sun. But even beyond that, once we graduated, we were still having these very lively debates and discussions. Every time we would meet up, right? And we would kind of use birthdays as an opportunity for us to reconnect. I think one of the things that I wanted to ask you around this is, when you think about our friendship, what are some of the things that you appreciate most about it? This is your time to say something nice now, Fal.
Huh, that's a tough question. I think people tend to make friendships with people that are very like-minded. Mm. And I think we have some of that. But we see things very, very differently. Yeah. And in our friendship, what I appreciate most is the safety for me to be myself, for me to express my opinions, and feeling that that doesn't tarnish your opinion of me. Mm. At the end of the day, no matter how it ends with might be on a particular topic or issue, that we are friends first.
Yeah.
And that opinion or topic is second, right? And I really appreciate the care that you take in that. That is really hard to find in a friendship.
And I think we should end right there. I think
wait, you got to say what you appreciate most about me.
We should totally end it right there.
I don't mean to be meaning, but come on.
We talked about this before, Fab, and your selfishness. No. but I have to absolutely agree. I think you just put that so eloquently and with so much grace and perspective, I think. Because we've had a lot of intense.
Yes, we have.
We are very strong-willed, yes. Strong-minded people, and we would provide articles to back up our arguments.
Articles, pictures, memes,
quotes, yes.
Whatever it takes
to make our point. Yes, no, we're very intense when it comes to it. But I'll be honest with you, I can't think of any other relationships or friendships that I have with that level of intense disagreement, and even it would even cause us to like not speak to each other sometimes.
it would take a day or two.
Like the text would just be dry. But totally just like, I need to get away from you for a couple of days. Yeah. And we would also not argue our point so much where we were trying to force the other person to agree with us.
Right.
And I feel like that's where I felt safe in talking with you, that, you know, you had the ability to make your point very strong, very definitive, but at the same time, not demean me for my stance. And what I also appreciated about you, I don't think I've ever told you this before, and that I feel like challenges me and that I actively try to imitate, is you are very willing to change your perspective when it's warranted. So even there are times when you are kind of very adamant about something and you don't budge, there are other times where you are very vulnerable and able to say, you know what, I didn't consider that. And actually, now that you say that, I'm changing the way that I think about this. And I'll be very honest with you, that is something I have a very hard time doing, not just doing it, but admitting to it. And so that's something that I've always appreciated about you and from you.
But I think that that's what led to us even wanting to do this podcast, right? Is that we would have these intense discussions, but at the heart of it, we were having discussion for discussion's sake.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because we wanted each other to think alike. And part of, I think, what's missing from society today is the art of dialogue.
Yeah.
And being able to have different perspective and allow openness to say like, well, you know, I always thought about something this way, but let me hear you out before I try to hammer you with the way things should be. And we really kind of learn how to kind of ask pivotal questions and really think about things in a way that we weren't used to. And I think we really do challenge each other in a lot of preconceived ideas that we may already come with and bring. And there's lots of things that as a woman that I've never thought about that you're able to kind of bring some perspective to my life. And I feel vice versa.
Absolutely. And I think having the ability to do that, and as you mentioned, juxtaposing it with society.
Yeah.
And I think what's important to mention is that we were experiencing this type of connection and dialogue at a time when the country was literally about to be ripped apart through the political venue. And, you know, with Trump being on the ballot, and, you know, I remember having these conversations during our grad school program and really seeing just the country as a whole becoming more and more divided. And it was a bit concerning and frightening because people were going to extreme lengths to make their point known. But when you are more concerned about being right than you are about being considerate, I think people then begin to do some crazy things. And I appreciated the fact that we could have these really tough conversations, but still leave it on the table and again kind of come back to not just our friendship, but our humanity.
Absolutely.
For us, I think that was a big part of the vision and concept of In My Opinion. And, you know, we would even have a saying, first we would agree to disagree. And then we just went on to say, this is just my opinion.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, don't take it personal, right? This is just my perspective. And so that's what we really want to be able to bring to a larger audience, is really for us to be able to have these conversations about anything, right? And there are things that people get so intense about, whether it's sports teams, whether it's about equal rights, whether it's about relationships, right? All these different ideas that we come to the table with from our own perspectives and bias, to be able to say, well, how can we have this conversation constructively, be heard, be validated, and it be okay that we don't agree.
Right. And I think sometimes people look at, like, okay, if I'm going to allow a difference of opinion, that means that my mind is going to be changed. And sometimes that's the case, yeah, right? Because that's the way it should be. If you're presented with new evidence, you should reevaluate ever so often.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of the art of conversation, that you may walk out of that conversation still feeling the same way that you did before you had it. But now, even though your opinion is still the same, you are able to see it from a wider lens and be able to consider different viewpoints or understand why people feel the way that they do. And I think that that's what it's all about. And I honestly, the thing that I love the most about our friendship with you and Pat is that we can do that and then celebrate each other's birthday every year and talk about silly stuff. And to this point, I really do consider you guys like big brothers.
Yeah.
And consider you families. I'm not the gushy type, but I really do appreciate you and Pat, and I'm so glad that I met you in grad school. I'm so glad you got accepted.
Me too.
Because we would have never met.
Totally. No, and I'm so happy that I got into grad school as well. But yeah, I think what came out of this is not just an amazing friendship, but also that we're taking this to a larger venue, right? Because we were really saying to ourselves, man, this needs to be seen, and not just amongst us, but there are also other groups out there. There are other friends and relationships where people are able to do this, and I think we have to shed more light on that, right? Because right now the narrative is that people just can't get along unless they agree on everything. And I think that our country in particular is in a very difficult space for that very same reason, amongst others. But I certainly learned some new things about you today. I hope you did as well.
Yes, always.
I was very touched by all the nice things you said and also very hurt by some of the nasty things you said about me.
But we will talk again tomorrow.
We'll agree to disagree. Maybe I need a day or two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have a barbecue to go next week. So
yeah, we actually do. Yes.
By then.
But, you know, and part of the reason that we do this and we end our segments in saying that this is just our opinion is because we also want to hear yours, right? We're able to have this discussion and dialogue, but we want to invite you to our table, literally. You know, we want to have you give your opinions, and we never want to tell you how to think, right? This is just purely about presenting our versions of it, giving you some evidence, maybe some things you didn't know before, but also leaving you room to figure it out for yourself.
Absolutely. And I want to just really quickly give a shout out to Baruch, because I think Baruch was such a pivotal experience in helping us not necessarily tell us what to think, but really tell us how we should be critical thinkers. And we really have taken what we've learned there and have applied it to our work, our regular lives, and everything that we do.
I have to absolutely agree with that. You know, feeling like we were able to make those those adjustments have really been key for us. So thank you, Baruch.
Yep.
So with that, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had a great time again, Fab, as always.
I did too.
It's always good to see you.
Now you can see how we really came to be.
And you'll hear more of Fab stories as we move along in this. But we'd also love to hear about you. You know, what are your perceptions and what are some of the things that you appreciate about our podcast? And even just about your own relationships and connections. You know, what are your views about those things? We'd love to hear from you, as always. And we invite you to visit us on our webpage at imopodcast.com and our Instagram, inmyopinion_podcast.
Remember, guys, this is just our opinion. Let us know yours.